And we're holding on Kuf Aleph, Amr Aleph, the top line. We learned in the Mishnah about various cases involving where you give wool to a dyer. The first case was where the wool got burnt because you put it, you left it in there too long on too high a heat. So then we said the dyer just has to pay the value of the wool. There's nothing to talk about in terms of shvach and yitzia, in terms of the improvement to the value or the expenses or whatever, because the wool doesn't exist anymore. It was burnt. Then you had the second case where he dyed it, but he dyed it an ugly shade, where the Gemara explained, we learned at the end of the Gemara yesterday, that it means that he used the dye at the bottom of the vat. So therefore, so it came out, the color came out on the wool, very patchy. Like some places darker, some places lighter, and it's no good. So then we said, since the guy did carelessly by using the dye at the bottom of the vat over there, so then you give him the shevach or the yitzia, whichever is less. And we discussed yesterday about shevach versus yitzia, about the exact meaning of that. Then you had the third case where you told him to dye it red and he dyed it black or the other way around. Then you have a machlokas Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir considers him a gazlan and he's koine with shinui, and therefore he pays the value of the original wool. And Reb Yehuda says that you pay him the yitzir or the shevach, whichever is less. And we talked about, Tosfos had given a couple of explanations of Reb Yehuda. Is it that Reb Yehuda doesn't hold of the concept of shinui being koine that we discussed at the beginning of the parak, or is it that he does? He doesn't hold that daraisa, only derabanan, and maybe in this case the takana derabanan wouldn't apply, or maybe he does hold that it does apply minat Torah, but over here the craftsman, the dyer to begin with, had no intention to be koine, therefore he's not koine. So now we're going to continue talking about these dinim, about when a craftsman does something wrong. So turn it up. A person gives wood to a carpenter to make a chair out of it. And instead of a chair, he made a bench. Or the other way around, he wanted to make a bench, and he made a chair. So this would be the equivalent of, in the Mishnah, giving him to dye the wool one color, and he dyed it a completely different color. So the mayor, so the same way as in the Mishnah, the mayor had said that he pays for the wool. The same way, the mayor says here that he would pay for the wood. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, again, like he says in the Mishnah, im ashvach yoser al yitzia, if the improvement in value of the wood by having been made into the wrong kind of furniture is greater than the yitzia, is greater than the expense, noisem lo yisa yitzia, then you pay him only for his expenses, vim yitzia yiser al ashvach, and if the expenses are greater than the shvach, noisem lo yisa shvach, then you give him the shvach. So you give him whichever one is less. So the same kind of thing as in the Mishnah with the wool, so it is also with the wood over here. And we talked about yesterday about what yitzia and shvach means in this connection. We have on the face of it, it means exactly that. You consider the improvement in value of the wool or the wood versus the expenses that the guy put into it. And we talked about what Maharsha points out, that after all, Rashi had also made the point that you can also instead pay him the amount that you made up with him in the first place, in which case Maharsha points out, well, then in that case, obviously that's going to always be more than his expenses, because the guy knows how to run a business, presumably, and he knows to charge more than his expenses. And Maharsha talked about, you might have a case where the guy thinks that, after all, I know this guy really wants this, and I'm sure when I make this thing for the guy, he's going to be so pleased with it that he's going to pay me extra, and when in the end it turns out not so. We also talked about, though, what Tosfos talks about from the Yerushalmi, that in fact there may be a different definition of shvach and yitzia, namely that you consider how much did he expect that he's going to, once he factors in the price of the raw materials and the amount he's paying the person for doing the job, how much extra profit did he intend to make, and that would be considered the shvach. And then we're saying, in other words, that he could demand from the guy, you know what, I want my shvach regardless, and therefore if that means deducting from the amount I'm going to pay you, then we do that. And then there's machlokas rishonim within that, whether the halacha is like that Yerushalmi, whether in fact it disagrees with the Bavli. Anyway, the point is that The point is the same din as applies to wool with dyeing. We're saying the same thing applies to wood with making furniture. However, the Braisa continues, a moided of mayor. Now a mayor would agree, again, similar to the Mishnah. Im nosen etzim l'chodash, lasses man kissing na. If he gave wood to a craftsman, to a carpenter, where the carpenter is supposed to make with a nice chair, v'osman kise kor, and instead he made with it an ugly chair. So it is a chair, unlike in the previous case, where he made a different type of furniture. Here he made a chair, but it's not a nice looking one. Similarly, sapsal na, v'osse sapsal kor, he told him to make a nice bench, and instead he made a not so nice bench. Then Reb Meir agrees, and this is again, as it's said in the Mishnah, Mashvach Yosra Leitzia, Noisimed Mea Itzia, Vimaitzia, Yisera Lashvach, Noisimed Mea Shvach. Then even Reb Meir agrees that he's not koneh with the Shinui. Even Reb Meir is not going to consider him a Gazlan for that. Therefore, it's going to go back to Yitzia and Shvach. We're going to see how much was his expenses and how much was the improvement in value over the raw wood, and pay him the lesser of the two. Again, similar to in the mission of the case where he dyed it, but he dyed it using the remains of the dye that's at the bottom of the vat, which is not very good. Okay. So now talking more about dinim involving dyeing and dyes and wool and all that. So Yibayrahu. By the way, the reason why the Mishnah and the Gemara are constantly talking about dyeing wool, when you get down to it, they didn't really have a lot of different fabrics in those days. All they had basically was wool and linen we find is not usually dyed. We have it in this week's parasha. You have the linen for the Mishkan is not dyed. The wool is dyed various colors. It was difficult with the technology that they had in those days to dye linen. Wool and linen were about the only, sometimes they had cotton, but it wasn't very common yet. Anyway, Yibayrahu. So they had the Chachmei HaYeshiva had a question: Yesh Shvach Samonin Alatzemer or Ein Shvach Samonin Alatzemer? Do we consider when you have the dye on the wool, is that considered to be an improvement or not? In other words, basically the question is, it actually says it boils down to what the Gemara calls later on Chozusa Milsehi is the color, does the color of something have significance in the sense, do we say that you have a mamoshus over there of color, or do you only have the appearance of it? So the Gemara says, oh, ain't it shvach samon al tzemer? So the Gemara says, hey, chidami, what exactly is the scenario that you're asking about? Elamer to gozel samonin, are you talking about where someone stole dye stuffs, vidakinhu, and he pounded them to make them into the powder or whatever that you need to in order to use them for dyes, v'taranhu, and he soaked them. So in other words, he started, let's say, for example, we're going to talk about on Omer Beis, you have, for example, a plant called istis, which is used as a dye. So are we talking about that he stole an istis plant from somebody and went through all the stages of making it into dye, but sovaban, and then he dyed cloth with it. And you're going to ask whether the, so you ask, you're going to ask, is the, are the dyes still considered be'ain, and therefore he has to return them as is, or is it not be'ain once he already dyed the cloth with it, and therefore he only has to pay the value? Well, it says, typically, mishum b'chanin b'shinui. Never mind that. Of course he's going to have to pay the value of them, because you already have a shinui. Going from the raw dye stuffs until dye is already a shinui. Even if he hadn't dyed the cloth yet, he wouldn't necessarily be having to give back the actual dye that he had made. It would be like all the cases that we've learned so far in the parak where he's koneh with shinui. So it can't be that that's the question. Can't be that that's the scenario that we're asking the question about. So the answer is lo tzricha de gozel samonin shruyin v'tzalabahu. Fine. What about if he stole already prepared dye stuffs and then he used that for dyeing? So now there's no particular shinui to the dye stuffs. Actually, the Pnei Yeshua asks that it should be considered a shinui, and he says that not, and the Or Sameach gives an explanation, because after all, the purpose of dyes is to dye with them, and they don't last otherwise. If you just leave dye stuffs around, eventually they're going to dry up or whatever. The way that you make them preserved for a long time is to dye cloth with them, and therefore therefore that wouldn't be considered a shinui. So now what would we be doing? Yes, shvach samon in al gabi atzemer. So do we say that we look at, there is an improvement in value of the dye on the wool, meaning, in other words, that de'omerle, so therefore the nigzel is able to say, havli sammanoi de'shaklatinu, so give me back my dye that you stole, and since now the dye is on the wool, then it means you're going to have to give me the wool, and you're going to have to give me the dyed wool, and fine, I'll reimburse you for the value of the raw wool, because that's not something you stole from me, but does he have the right to say that? Aduma en shvach sammanon al-gabi atzemer. Or maybe not. Maybe we don't consider the improvement in value of the dye on the wool. Maybe, in other words, we say chazus olav milsi, the fact that you have color over here. There's no tangible object over here that can be returned to omalais. And now the gazlan can say less like a boy of midi. You don't have anything by me because the what I stole no longer exists. Well, the Gemara says Ami. Well, in that case, they ask the e ain shvach samonin al gabet semer. Fine. So then in that case, if you say there's no shvach sammanin al gabi atzemer, if you say that the increase in the value, if you say that it's considered that the sammanin no longer exists because they've been absorbed into the wool, what do you mean? Mi motzi omalei las lach aboy v'lei midi? How could he possibly say, you don't have anything else by me? Namele, at least the nigzel should be able to say, havli sammanoi daf sabtinu. Well then, give me my dyes, which you damaged, because you use them, and I want them back. And if you don't have them available anymore, no different than, let's say, for example, you stole something, you stole an animal of mine, and it died, or you stole, whatever, you stole something, you stole food of mine and ate it or whatever, then you're gonna have to pay me the value of it. So what's the question then, whether yes, shvach sammanin al gabi atzemer or not? So elo lahachgisa. In fact, you can say the case is talking about where he stole dyes and dyed cloth with them, but actually you can put it you can do it the other way around. If we say ein shvach sammanin al gabi atzemer or boy shalomile, so we can ask, it's true. If we say that ein shvach sammanin al gabi atzemer, if we consider the dye no longer exists, then you're right, you would have to pay him the value of the dye, no question about that. But maybe we can ask, yes, shvach sammanin al gabi atzemer. Maybe we can say, okay, there is the shvach sammanin al gabi atzemer. Maybe we do consider that the dye still exists on the surface of the wool. And therefore, the omale, so now the gazan can say, hamanchi kamach. Well, in that case, then, the dye is right here in front of you. Shaklinu, take it from there. So in other words, the gazlan can say, in effect, that look, as far as I'm concerned, you can remove the dye from the wool, and then you can have your dye back. So Tosfos points out there would be a cost involved in removing it. So therefore the gazlan would have to pay for that. Tosfos compares it to a case that we had a couple of blocks ago where somebody threw somebody else's coin into the sea, where therefore we said if it's a case where you have to hire a diver to retrieve the coin, then the guy who threw it in is going to have to pay for the diver. The same way over here, fine, the gazlan is saying, I agree, I'll have to pay for someone to extract the dye from the wool, but after that, then you take your dye as it is, and then that's it. So, Shaklinu, how can he tell him take it? But my Shakle, how would he remove the dye? The Tsapon, he would have to use Tsapon, which we learned at the beginning of the Perek, is the word Tsapon is related to the word soap, and it means some kind of strong soap or detergent, which is able to remove most dyes. Nowadays, you know, sometimes you have colored clothing where you put it in the wash and the color fades, especially if you put in bleach or whatever. Back then, their dyes were mostly not very color fast. We learned at the beginning of the parak, we said there was one type of dye they had then called kola ilon, which was color fast and would stand up to tzapon. Most kinds of dyes would not. So what are you going to tell me? He's going to say that wash it with tzapon and that way we're going to remove the dye. Fine, tzapon avuri me'aber. It does remove the dye, has shovelite of it, but it doesn't actually return. It doesn't actually return the dye to its original state. You can't now, after you have dye that was removed from wool using tzapon, you're not going to be able to use that dye again in the future. So how are we thinking that he would be able to say, essentially, harei shalach lefanecha, he will remove the dye with tzapon, and then you can take it back and you can use it. The fact is, it's not going to work. Ella, so rather, the Gemara says, you're right, Hachav Maya Skinan, the question that we're, the case we're talking about, that we're asking the question of Yesh Shvach or Ein Shvach Samonin, or Gabi Atzemer, is Gugud Yugazal Tzemer, the Samonin Dechad. Suppose you have a person stole wool as well as wool as well as dye from one person, but Tzave Lahu Tzemer, Bahanach Simonin, Bahanach Samonin, and now he used the wool. And now he dyed the wool with that very same dye. Because Mahadala Nihalela Tsemer, now he's returning the wool which he stole. So now the question is, now we know you have a mitzvah of the Heshav Asagzela. So the question is, now when he returns the dyed wool, is he accomplishing the mitzvah of Hashava? Yes, Shvach Samonin al Gabi Atzemer. Do we say that we do consider that the dye exists on the wool? Become a Hadalai Samonin Atzemer. In which case, he is in fact returning him both the wool and the dye. So the only difference is before they weren't combined together and now they are. And that's it. Now he's accomplished the Heshav Asagzela. Or maybe we say we don't consider the dye to still exist. All you have is chazusa ma'alma. All you have is the appearance on the wool. But semer mehadolei, someone le mehadolei. In which case, he only returned him the wool. He hasn't returned him the dye, and therefore he'd still be chayev to return him. He'd still be chayev the value of the dye. So that would be the question. Now what happens also, by the way, so that would be the question. Where you have, where they both belong to the same person. Amri, but the Chachmei Yeshiva said that, that still doesn't work to ask the question about whether he's accomplished, that he's returned everything, or whether he's still chayav anything. Typically, don't you have any way or reason that he should be potter? After all, the wool is now worth more by the dyeing. So now, therefore, so what happened? The wool was originally worth $10. Now, as a result of dyeing it, so the wool was worth $10. The dye was worth another $10. Now, as a result of dyeing it, it's worth $20, or even it's worth $25. And therefore, he is returning the, he has included in what he's returning with the dyed wool is the value of the dye. So what's the question still, whether he's chayav to pay anything else? And the answer is, lo tzricha dizol tziva. The chiddush is, the case where we have to ask the question is, where the price of dye went down. So Rashi explains, in other words, dyed wool is now worth less than it was before. He uses the expression, huzal ba'olam, Rashi says, it became cheaper in the world. So now what happens is, usually you would have, yes, that dyed wool is equal in value, at least, to the value of the wool plus the dye, but now you're talking about, for whatever reason, the price of it has gone down. So now, when he returns him the dyed wool, the nigzo can say, look, you know, there's a few possibilities. I could have sold the dyes by themselves, and they would have been worth more. Or I could have taken those same dyes and dyed something else. And now you caused me a loss because you're not returning me the full value of the wool plus the dye separately. So now Tosfos, first of all, points out it does have to be that we're talking about, we still can't say that it means that he stole the original raw dye stuffs and then made them into dye, because then, like we said at the beginning, he would be kind of those machinery, and there'd be no question that he has to return the value of them. So we're talking about, again, like we said before, we're still within the case where he stole dyes that were already made. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger and Gilyon HaShas asks about that, but really, why can't we just say that it means, what forces Rashi to say that we're talking about that the value of dyed clothing went down? Why don't we just say the value of the dyes themselves went down? So the fact is, therefore, he's not returning the full value of the samonin, because before they were worth more and now they're worth less, even if we say, yes, shrach samonin av gabi atzemer. Then we should still say, we could have in that case as well, where dye itself went down in value, rather than saying, like Rashi says, that dyed clothes have gone down in value. Then he goes on to ask on the Gemara itself that, why do we have to talk about that he stole wool and dye from one person. We could say that we're talking about that he stole already made dye and then dyed his own wool. And again, the value of the dye went down. And he goes and discusses that. And so the first question, he says, Tzorich Iyun, the one on Rashi, and the second one on the Gemara, he says, Tzorich Iyun Gadol. There's a rule when you have things from Rabbi Akiva Eger, Tzorich Iyun is like a minor question. Tzorich Iyun Gadol means that Rabbi Akiva Eger considers it a serious question. Then you have an even higher one sometimes he says, Vashem Yoru Einai, may Hashem enlighten my eyes, which that shows that he considers it the most difficult question of all. Anyway, there is in fact an explanation. At least as far as the first question, there's in fact an explanation from an early Achron named Moshe Kazis, who explains that he says that Rashi what Rashi means is that colored wool, that dyed wool, was always lower in value than the individual values of the wool and the dye. So in other words, normally we think wool is worth $10, dye is worth $10. The combination of them has to be worth at least $20, if not more. But Rashi can be referring to a scenario not that now it went down in price, but that always, at least in this society, dyed clothes are worth less than the individual values of the wool and of the dye. That would be if we understand it that way, then we don't have Rabbi Akiva Eger's first question, because then in fact Rashi would understand the Gemara itself to be saying that we're talking about that the Gemara is talking about where the value of dyed clothes has always been lower than the value of the individual things. Anyway, so now we have the question. So that's one way of saying what is the scenario that we're asking about, whether Yashvach Samon and Agabi Atzema or not, would be a case like that, where the value of dyed clothing is worth less than the value of the individual wool and dye, and therefore, can we say that when he's returning the dyed clothing, the fact is he is returning the wool, he is returning the dye, and that's that, or would we say no? In Shvach Saman al Gabi Atzemer, the dye no longer exists in its original form, and therefore you should have to pay separately for that. So that would be one way of explaining. The Boy Semer, or another way that you could explain the question. You could have a case where he died with it, a monkey. So Rashi explains, in other words, suppose it wasn't cloth, but wool. Suppose a person stole a monkey and dye from somebody. And then he applied the dye to the monkey. Now there's no improvement in the value of the monkey by dyeing it. So now you can talk about, in other words, so again, would we say that there's Shvach Saman in Agabe Atzemer, or in this case, Agabe the monkey, and therefore he's returning the dye, and therefore he doesn't need to do anything further? Or would we say, no, it no longer exists, and therefore he has to pay for it? There's another line in Rashi that says, Va'amila, some say that the word koifa over here does not mean a monkey, Va'amila kup ashom mitzorim, some say that it means a basket made out of twigs. However, Marshall points out that line is actually not from Rashi. That line is actually from the Oruch. So the Oruch, in fact, understands the word Savabohu Kaifa over here, meaning exactly that. He painted a basket. The point is the basket doesn't improve in value when you paint that kind of basket made out of twigs. It doesn't improve in value any over an unpainted basket. Anyway, this is all according to Rashi. Tosfos points out that no, whether you're talking about a monkey or whether you're talking about a basket, the fact is he used the dye on something which is not meant to be dyed. So of course he was mafsid it. Of course that would be a hezek that he'd have to pay for. Rather, Tosfos explains it means that sova b'hu kofa, it does mean a monkey, but it means he dyed it like the way a monkey would do. In other words, he did it carelessly. So it would be like we talked about before about the tzavai ko'ur in the Mishnah, where he dyed it, but he dyed it in an ugly way, where he didn't make sure the color was uniform along all of it. So he would have the same thing. He dyed it, but in that ugly way, and therefore you don't have the, so therefore so normally you might have that, yes, dyed clothing is going to be worth more than the individual values of the wool and the dye. But here, where he did it like that, he did it like a monkey, then in this ugly way, therefore it's going to come out that it's worth less. So that would be another way of having a case where the result is worth less than the raw materials that went into it. And again, then you'd have to question whether there's shvach samon or gabi atzemer or not, and therefore whether he has to pay separately for the dye. Ravina, my Ravina gives another answer. All this time, we said the previous answers had assumed that the wool and the dye all belonged to one person that he stole it from. Now Ravina is saying you don't have to say that. You could be talking about the wool belonged to one person, the dye belonged to a different person. So now a monkey comes, and now, it dyed this wool with that dye. So we're not even talking about, so we're not even talking about, in other words, it actually points out then there's no, so we're not even talking about actually a gezel. We're not talking about we stole anything at all. What we're talking about is that, you have the two things together. You have Reuven's wool and Shimon's dye are sitting near each other, and a monkey got in there, a pet, somebody's pet monkey or other, it doesn't have to be a monkey, obviously, but I was using that as an example of an animal that would be capable of doing such a thing on its own. So it went in there, and it went, dyed the wool using those dyes. So now, yes, shvach samon and agabit semer. So do we say that the dye is considered to exist still on the surface of the wool? The omale, so now the owner of the dye can say, havli samonoi de gaboch minu, give me my dyes, because after all, they're by me. Because they're by you, rather, because now they're on your wool. Maybe there's no shvach. Maybe the dye is considered to no longer exist. And therefore, the owner of the wool can say, there's nothing by you. There's nothing of you by me because I didn't steal anything from you. And therefore, I should be potter from paying you altogether. Now, Tosfos points out, we have cases earlier in the Masechta, we had a couple of such cases. There are other ones in Shas where a person has a hanah from something where at least we say Mishalom Mashanana. We had earlier in the Masechta, for example, we had cases where an animal is eating something from Tzidei Rechava, from the sides of the main street over there. Really from the actual street itself, where we said you potter for shein. However, you still have mishalom mashenana. You still consider, well, how much would an equivalent? The fact is, you're gaining now that your animal ate something that belongs to somebody else. The fact is, you don't have to feed the animal that day because now it filled up on this. So therefore, you pay mashenana. So you pay the value of, for example, what an equivalent amount of straw or barley or whatever you would have normally fed the animal is worth. So why don't we say the same thing over here? The fact is, fine. The owner of the dye should be potter. The owner of the dye, we can argue, or the owner of the wool, we can argue is potter because he didn't steal anything. That's not his problem that there's dye on his wool. But nevertheless, we should still consider the improvement in the value of the wool. Shouldn't he at least have to pay that to the owner of the dye? And so Tosfos discusses that no, when you have a hanah that either a person's own guf benefits from, Tosfos gives a different example involving a person where one person takes liquids that belong to somebody else, takes a drink that belongs to somebody else and pours it down somebody's throat. So then you can say at least his body is having hanah from it, so therefore he'd have to pay machanan. Or you have that it was done by a mice of his or of his animal, whereas here you have none of the above. The fact is, all you have over here is that it looks nicer, so it's not really considered a hanah, and the fact is he didn't do anything, and it's not a hanah of his guf. So therefore, so based on all of that, then yes, if we say, ein shvach samon al gabi atzemer, then the owner of the wool is going to be potter from paying, but if you say, yes, shvach samon al gabi atzemer, meaning, in other words, if we say, as Rashi said earlier, chozusa milsi, that the color is something significant, then he'd be chayav to pay. So what is it? So now that we've worked out, so now we have several different cases where this yesh shvach or ein shvach samon or gabei atzemer is going to be applicable. Again, you have the case where the value went down, the value of dyed garments has gone down, either as we learn in the surface understanding of Rashi, means they used to be dyed garments used to be worth more and now they're worth less, or as Rav Moshe Kazas explains, it means that dyed garments were always worth less. Or we have where he died a monkey with it, or where a monkey died it, according to the different explanations that we said. And Ravina saying, you're talking about that there was no Xavier here at all, but rather that a monkey came and dyed Reuven's cloth with Shimon's dyes. Okay. So now that we understand, so now the question would be, yes, zvach shvach samon al gabei atzemer do amalei havlei samanoi de gabochninu. So again, is there shvach samon al gabei atzemer, and therefore the owner of the dye can say, give me back my dyes de gabochninu because they're by you. Or doma ein shvach samon al gabei atzemer, or maybe there's not, but amalei, and therefore we can say lesvach gaboi klum, you don't have anything by me because there's no actual tangible thing of yours by me, and since I wasn't a gazlan, it's only this monkey that came in from the outside and did it, then therefore I should be potter. So, now that we established that, toshma, let's try to bring a proof one way or the other. So again, the question boils down to chazusa milsihi, is the color, the change in color by the dyes, is that considered significant in halacha? So toshma, we learn in a mission in Masechta Orla, beged tzoved klipei Orla, if a person dyed clothing using shells of Orla. Now Rashi explains what you're talking about is, you mean, for example, nut shells or the shells or peels of other kind of peiros. Now, if it was, for example, Rashi points out that if you were to use the bark of an Orla tree to make dye, then that wouldn't be a problem. The whole concept of Orla only applies to the produce of a tree, not to the wood. So let's say, for example, there are certain kind of nutshells that can be used to produce dyes, or there are certain kinds of, the peels of certain kinds of fruits can be used to produce dyes. So what happens then if a person used that and then dyed a garment with that, you dull it. Then you have to burn that garment. Why? Because also bahana. You see that the color is something significant, and therefore you don't say, in other words, that, well, there's no mamoshus of Orla over here, therefore it's not a problem. The fact is, we're saying it has to be burnt. The Gemara says, not necessarily, is that proof? Because when it comes to Orla specifically, the Torah is answering even a hana that's only visible with your eyes, even though there's no mamoshus there. Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Arelim lo ya'ochol, the Pasuk says that for the first 3 years, it's Orla and you can't eat it. Ein li ala isra achila. Now from the word lo ya'ochol, you would only know that you can't eat it. Minayin shla yahonim imenu. How do we know that you can't have hana from it? Which Tosfos points out that the Gemara has a whole sugya in Pesachim discussing that on the face of it, we can learn isra hana from the word lo ya'ochol. The Gemara has a long discussion over there that, according to one opinion anyway, when it says lo ya'ochol in the Torah, it means you also can't have anah unless it specifies otherwise. Anyway, but based on that, you would only know isra achila. Minayin shalo yahonim imenu. How do we know you can't have other kinds of anah from Orla? For example, shalo yitzva bo, you can't die with the peels of fruit of Orla, the lo yadlik bayis haner, and that you're not allowed to light a lamp or a candle using oil of Orla. Talmud Lomar, therefore the pasuk says v'araltem Orla seris piriyoy, you should make Orla of its fruit, and it continues arelim lo yachol, it's Orla. It shall not be eaten. So you have three times it says the word Orla. L'rabbis is kulam, and therefore that comes to include all these kinds of hana that are also. So we see that in that particular case, we see that dyes are also b'hana, and they cause that therefore it's going to be also. Now Tosfos has some discussion on the point. First of all, Tosfos points out, the fact is we do sometimes find where something that's also bahana, it is actually allowed to burn it and then use it for a hana. For example, you burn wood to make coals, and then you use the coals for something. But Tosfos points out that the fact is that the difference is that the oil, which we're talking about over here, it's be'ein, the oil still exists right now when you're burning it, when you're using it, and therefore that would be a hana that's also, as opposed to, for example, with wood, when you make it into charcoal, first it becomes charcoal, and only then is it burning, so that would be less of an issue. Now, by Orla, that particular point is not relevant, because wood of Orla, as Rashi says, is not also anyway, but the point is, when we have cases where wood is also, then nevertheless it might be mutter on those grounds. And Tosfos discusses various other points about different kinds of hana that are and aren't also. And then Tosfos also points out in the middle, they say, well, you could say like this, given that here you need a ribui in the posik, that dye is usur, then maybe should that show that normally dye is not a problem, and therefore that would answer the question. On the other hand, Tosfos says, no, on the contrary, we could say that maybe we learn by a binyan av from here, if we're saying that over here, it's usur, then maybe in other cases it would be usur as well. And then there's a different point. Tosfos Rabbi Peretz makes the point that by oral of the Torah is exceptionally machmir. Again, we're saying even to light a lamp with it would be also. So therefore, you could say that maybe oral is something special. Fine. So no proof one way or the other from that, because oral may be a special case because we have this limud from the pasuk. Okay. The Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof. A Braisa says Beged Shetzaved Klipei Shvius. If you have a garment that was dyed with peels of fruit from Shvius, then that garment has to be burnt. Now, why would you have to burn it when it's done with Shvius? So Rashi explains, again, first of all, we're talking about peels of fruits, but Rashi points out, you're not allowed to do schora, you're not allowed to do business with Peiros Shvius. And so over here, dyeing with it, making dyed cloth out of it, would be considered, therefore, that you were over on that issue of schora. So in other words, you were supposed to eat it. You weren't supposed to do business with it. Now, Tosfos and Rabbeinu Peretz asks, actually, that we have a Mishnah in Masechta Shvius that says you are allowed to dye with Peiros Shvius. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that what Rashi means is eventually there comes a time called Biur. Now, eventually you have, eventually any particular type of fruit that grows during Shemitah, eventually you reach a point when there's none of that type of fruit left out in the fields and in the wild anymore. Now, the expression is in the Pasuk that what grows during Shemitah should be available l'chol, l'hemtachov, l'chaya, shevar tzecha, for you and your domestic animals, and for the wild animals, and from there we learn a concept that once a particular kind of produce doesn't exist out in the wild anymore, for the wild animals to eat, then you have to get rid of any of that of that particular fruit that you have by you in your house. For example, an example of it is grapes. Now, grapes, the normal harvest time for grapes is Elul Tishrei time. So you have grapes that grew during Shemitah, usually only picked then, but you have grapes that are not picked at that time, and they remain on the vines until around Pesach time of the next year. Come Pesach time of the year after Shemitah, then you have to do beer on any grapes or wine of Shemitah that you have in your house. What beer consists of, the Rambam learns that it just means putting it outside the Rambam actually learns, and Rashi also apparently learns, that it means to destroy it completely. You have to eat it or destroy it or whatever. A number of other Rishonim say that no, it just means basically you have to put it out as hefker, and then you could actually take it back from hefker. In any case, Rashi holds that beer means to actually destroy it, and so therefore he would go l'shitasa, saying therefore that the point is when we're saying that you have to burn this garment would refer to at the time of beer. So you use, let's say, for example, you use nutshells, for example, to make the dye. Eventually, when those kinds of nuts are no longer available in the fields, then you would have to burn that garment because you have to do beer. On the other hand, Tosfos and Rabbeinu Peretz disagrees and says you're talking about where to use the dye after the time of beer, and therefore that's why it was also, and then there are, there are different other explanations. Again, Tosfos and the Rash and various other Rishonim learn that beer just means making it hefter, and therefore so one possibility that Amban gives an answer that, yeah, if you didn't make it hefker before beer, then it's also. Or you're talking about that for example, that he treated it like produce of other years. And then the Ravid gives an example, the Ravid gives an explanation that there are different types of beer depending what you have to do. And there is a point where you have to, there's a point where you have to destroy it. And therefore that would be when you have to burn this garment. Okay. In any case, so you have a case where you dyed something with shells of Shavias, you dulek, we're saying you have to burn it. Now, this is not Orla anymore, this is Shavias. So doesn't that show that in general, you have to be machmir on dyes? The answer is shiny hosam. Again, it's different by Shavias. The omakro tia, because the pasuk says by Peyla Shavias, the word tia, it shall be, and from that we learn, bahava yoseh tehei, it remains as is, that it always remains kedushas Shavias, even though it retains kedushas Shavias, even though you used it for dyeing. But that's a special case. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to get into, so we have no proof or the other, so we have no proof one way or the other from as far as this matter of whether there is Shvach Samon and Agabe Atzemer or not, because the different places that we tried to prove from, we can't really prove from it. Both Orla and Shvias, there's a special reason to say that should apply only to those dinim and not to others. But now the Gemara is going to digress to talk about, in general, about certain halachas as far as dyes, as far as Orla and Shavias, and to discuss details within that of when we consider that dye stuffs are in fact also bahana, and versus when we say that not, just because something is dyed a certain color doesn't mean that it actually has the mamoshos of that color in it. So as far as the previous question, since the Gemara hasn't answered it, then as usual it's basically a motzi mechaveil of araya. Usually you'd only pay the value of the wool, and if the guy ends up taking the value of the dye as well, then you can't take it away from him. So as usual with cases of taking. So the Gemara says Rava Rom. Rava pointed out a contradiction between Mishnayos. We just quoted a Mishnah that says that if a person dyed wool which peels or shells of fruit of Orla, then that clothing has to be burnt. And we see from that, again, that the color of something is considered significant. And therefore, in other words, that we consider there's a mamoshus of it over there. Now, Tosfos points out, didn't Rava just finish saying that Orla is a special case? He was going to ask a question from the Tum of Atara, but we just said, Rava himself had just said that Orla is different. So Tosfos says one possibility is that before it was Rava saying, and here it's Rava, so different Amaroyim. Or Tosfos says, even if it's Rava, in both places you could say that Rava was only doing a dichui over there. He was saying you can't necessarily prove from the Mishnah about Orla that we should say Chazus and Milsi, maybe not. But now Rava is saying, on the other hand, the Mishnah does seem to be implying that Chazus and Milsi, and on the other hand, we have a contradiction from a case in Hilchos Tum of Atara. The Ravid gives a different answer. The Ravid explains that it's one thing you can't learn Mamoin from Isser, but you can learn from Isser to Isser, and so therefore he was going to ask from Hilchos Tum of Atara, which is also a matter of Isser. So he says a Ramin, we have a contradiction from a Mishnah, revius dam, shenivla bebayis. Suppose you have a revius of blood. Now, a revius of blood from a mess is one of those things that's metamed ba'oriho. Rashi points out, because the pasuk says, in connection with Tumas Oil, the alcohol nafshes meis lo yavoi, that a koyin is not allowed to be anywhere where there's the nefesh of a dead person. And ki adom huan nefesh, we know the pasuk tells us in a few places, the blood is a person's life. And as far as a revius, the Chacham figured out that a revius is the absolute minimum that a person could live with. How that is, how we understand that in modern terms, where a person needs a few pints of blood at minimum in order to live, is a little hard to understand. One possibility is it means a newborn baby. the tiniest baby, maybe a revius would be enough for them to get by, at least for a little while. Be that as it may, that's how the Chachamim have figured out that a revius of blood from a dead person is metame. So now, a Mishnah says, revius dam shenivla mabayis. Suppose you have a revius of blood that was absorbed into the floor of a house. Habayis tome, the house, meaning not the house itself, meaning the kalim that are in the house, are tome, v'amilo habayis tohor, but then there's another version of the Mishnah that says that the house is tohor, v'loy plidi, and there's actually no argument, because hob kalim dehavum ikra, v'hob kalim de'osul v'asoy, if it depends whether there were kalim that were in there when the blood came out of the mess, they became tome, v'oyhel, because of that blood that came out. Versus, you have kalim that were brought into the house afterwards, so by now the blood has started to get absorbed into the ground, and therefore you don't have a full revius over there in the oyhel to be metame then. So fine, that part of the Mishnah is not really relevant to what Rava is going to ask over here, but the Gemara is bringing it in because since there's no Oruch HaNer points out elsewhere, based on what Rashi himself says someplace else, that since there's no Gemara on Mishnayos from most of Seder Taras, therefore whenever the Gemara brings something in from Seder Taras, it takes the time to explain it. Anyway, but then the Mishnah continues, Nivla b'ksus, what happens if the revius dam got absorbed into clothing? Royin, then we have to see, imiskabesis aksus v'yotzimen revius dam, if when we wash the clothing, at least the revius of blood comes out, tmeya, then it will be tamei. Now, tmeya would mean that the beged itself is going to be tamei. Rashi actually has the girsa, tamei. Oh, actually, so the printed Rashi in front of us has the Girsa Tmei'a, but the Hagos Habach, both in the Gemara and in Rashi, changes it to Tomei, meaning that, well, Rashi says Abayis Tmei'a, which merely means that the contents of the house itself become Tomei, and Hagos Habach and Shvat changes that in the Gemara as well, which would mean, therefore, that the Kalim in the house are Tomei because of Tumas Oil. Habim Lav Tahora, if not, if you can't get a review, of blood out of the clothing, then everything that's in the house would be tohur. Now, the reason why it's changed from tmeya to tome is because shouldn't the clothing be tome itself either way? The fact is, the clothing obviously touched the revius of blood to begin with. However, Tosfos elsewhere, this Gemara is also in Masechta Nida, and Tosfos explains over there that it means, because we're talking about that it was only a revius to begin with, and by the time the rest of it touched the beged, some of it was already absorbed, and we're saying if it's absorbed in a way that it can't get out, then it doesn't count anymore towards the revius. So that would justify the girsa tmeya as we have it in front of us. Anyway, the point is that, now, how do you figure out, Rashi explains, how do you figure out whether you can get out a revius of blood? What you do is, Rashi explains, you take the clothing, you wash it in water, and then you see, you measure out a certain amount of water and wash it, then you see what do you have afterwards. If you see that now the water is larger in volume by at least a revius, then you know that a revius of blood came out, therefore it's tame, and if not, then therefore things are going to be tame, and if not, then not. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation because the fact is, okay, so you have the water is greater in volume by your revius. Meanwhile, though, you have to consider some of the water that you wash the clothing with is still absorbed into the clothing. So in that case, that's going to throw off the calculation. So you started, let's say, with a lug of water which contains four revius, and now you find you have five lugs, so you're going to say revius of blood came out. Fine, no question about that. But what about if you find that there's less than you find there's four and a half revius? Fine, but half a revius of the original water is going to be absorbed into the clothing. No, don't you have to factor that in? So rather, Tosfos brings from the Tosefta that actually what you do is, you're like this. You start with a certain amount of water, you wash the clothing in it, then you take an equivalent amount of other water, pour a revius of blood into it, and compare the color of the two batches of water. If you find that the color of the batch of water in which you did the laundry is the same or darker than the other, then you know there's a revius of blood in it. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss that why should it be that the blood that remains in the beged, why should it count towards the revius if you can't get it out? And then Tosfos discusses a little bit about certain details of that din. Anyway, the point is that we're saying that there can be a case, you can't get all the revius of blood out of the garment, therefore everything is tahor. Now, the fact is, the garment still has a blood stain on it. So therefore you see that chazusa milsi. So you see that chazusa lav milsi. So you're saying that the color, the fact that the garment now has a color of blood on it doesn't matter. And that doesn't count towards the revius. Yet we just said before that if you dye clothing with peels of orla, then it is also bahana showing that chazusa milsi. So what is it? And the answer is, omer tahana mikul revius shonu kan. The answer is, here we're talking about one of those cases where we're going to be makel on the case of revius. Namely, we're not talking about a revius from an actual dead person. We're talking about bedam, because bedam tvusa derabanan. The case that we're talking about over here is what's called dam tvusa, which Rashi explains is a person was killed and you have blood started flowing out of him while he was alive. And then it continued after he died. So now, you don't know, did the revius come out while he was alive, and such blood is not metame? Did it all come out after he died, and then it is metame? Or is it some before and some after? So in that case, since the whole tumor of it is only dirabanan, then therefore it's only dirabanan because of the suffix, then therefore we can say that we're makel, therefore that if some of it is still absorbed into the garment, we're not going to count that towards the revius. But otherwise we would. So therefore, no contradiction. Normally we might say chazusa milsi. Normally we would say the color is considered something significant, at least when it comes to hilchos iser v'heter, such as orla or tuma. But when it comes over here, when you're talking something that's only dirabanan, then that would be different. Since we're talking about something where Rava pointed out a contradiction between the Shnayas, so now we're going to have another one that Rava is going to point out involving Dinim of Shmita. Rava pointed out another contradiction. And we learn in a Mishnah in the Sechta Shvias. Now the Mishnah first starts describing over there that Shvias applies to anything that can be eaten or drunk, and it also applies to things that are used for dyes, the same dinim that apply to shmitah, to shmitah food. You can only use them for their usual purpose, and you're not allowed to sell them in more than certain quantities, and you have beer on them and so forth. So the Mishnah mentions that among those, you have minyan hatsovin, you have things that are used for dyeing. So what are they? The Mishnah describes, for example, svichei stis v'koitza. For example, you have the aftergrowth of stis and koitza. Svichim are when you don't harvest the plant right away. You don't harvest the plant. You let it grow. Now svichim, actually what it is like this. Svichim usually means, in connection with Shemitah, usually means, for example, you have plants that grow from seeds that were scattered last year. You'll have, let's say, with trees, you don't have that. But with grain or vegetables, or here we're going to talk about plants for dyes or whatever, you very commonly have that seeds of them get spread around, and the next year you find plants of those growing, even though you didn't plant them yourself. Midaraisi, you're allowed to eat them. Midarabanan, there are restrictions on them. So Rashi over here points out that during Shemitah, since you can't plant, you're not going to have the actual plants that you planted themselves. All you're going to have is svichim. All you're going to have is ones that grew on their own from seeds that fell from previous years. So that's how Rashi explains. Tosfos points out that we find this word svichim used in connection with meiser as well, and there that doesn't work. Rather, Tosfos brings from a Rashi elsewhere in Pesachim, where Rashi himself explains the word svichim is used over here because these plants, stis and koitza, you don't usually harvest them every year. It's the root of them that's most useful for dyeing, so you let the root stay in the ground, keeping on growing for several years before you dig it out, and therefore that's why it uses the word svichim over here. There's yet other places where Rashi gives yet another explanation, another place in Pesachim where Rashi gives another explanation, which is that if you plant them, they're going to be soft enough to eat. Only when they're svichim are they hard enough that you're not going to eat them, and instead you're going to use them for dyes. Whatever the case, stis and koitza are plants that are used for dyeing. Rashi translates stis as saffron, which is used to make a kind of yellowish or reddish dye, and koitza, Rashi translates as wode, which is, Rashi uses the word gavga, whatever, but in English it's called wode, which is a plant from which you make a blue dye. Anyway, so you have svichim of those. So yesh lahen shvius. The dinim of shmita apply to them. For example, you're not allowed to sell them. Vilud mehen shvius. And the money of them also has gushas shvius. If you do sell them, and you are allowed, there are limited quantities that you're allowed to sell. So you have that. You can also have a person who was over and sold them. So then the money also has gushas shvius, as usual with plants of shvius. Tosfos actually points out you could have a case where to begin with you pick them in order to eat them, and then you decided to, and then so you pick them in order to eat them, and then instead you're going to use them for dyes. So then the fruit itself, the din is the produce of shemitah itself always has gushas shvius, and whatever you exchange it for, the last thing you exchange it for also has gushas shvius. And the Mishnah continues, yesh lahen bir v'lid mehen bir. Both the svichei istis v'koitza themselves and the money that you got for them, or whatever it is that you traded for them, also have the din of bir when the time of bir comes, when you have that. That stis and koitza are not available out in the fields anymore. Anyway, Alma, you see from that, eitzim yesh ben v'shem kdushas shvius. So you see from that that wood has gushas shvius, because on the face of it, this svikotza is not normally eaten. Again, you have, whether we're talking about, we're calling them svichim because that's all that's available during shmita, or whether because these roots usually leave in the ground for several years, but they're not usually meant to be edible, or as Rashi explains in yet another place, because these particular ones grow hard and you don't eat them. So whatever the case, but we're still saying they have gushas shvius, implying that even wood of plants that grow during shmita has gushas shvius. Uramini, however, that's a contradiction to a braisa, which says alei kanim, leaves of reeds, like for example bamboo leaves or whatever, v'alei gfanim or grape leaves, shegibavon b'chava al pnei asada, where a person collected them b'chava to make a storehouse for them for the winter time. Rashi explains b'chava literally means to hide them, so it means that he's gathering them in order to hide them away, in order to store them away for the winter. Al pnei asada, down the surface of the field. There's various other explanations among the Rishonim what the word b'chava means. The Rashba says that it means that he's gathering them while they're still fresh, and then they could be eaten either by people or by animals. The Shittim Kubetzis brings another meaning, that b'chava means basically, in other words, like he's considering them precious. He's only collecting the leaves and leaving behind the branches. Whatever the case, the Braisa says if a person is collecting those, yesh ben mishum gushas shvius. So then it depends. Lichta machila, if he collected them in order to eat them, he's going to use the grape leaves, for example, to eat, or the bamboo leaves or whatever. Yesh ben mishum gushas shvius. Then gushas shvius applies because they're edible. La'etzin, but if he gathered them to use for firewood, ain ben mishum gushas shvius. Then gushas shvius does not apply to them. So what is it then? So does kedusha shvius apply to wood or not? Or Mashani, and Rava answered the question like this. Omakra, the pasuk says la'ochla, the pasuk says that the produce of shvius is meant to be eaten, and that means we learn that other kinds of things that are like what's eaten in that sense are chayiv kedusha shvius, namely the mishana also be urei shovin that you're talking about. When does kedusha shvius apply? Only the kind of thing where the hana and the destruction of it happen at the same time. Food is like that. You eat food at the same moment that you're enjoying the taste of it, and the nourishment of it is when it gets destroyed by your teeth and by your stomach. So therefore, similarly with other kinds of things, where you have the hana and the beer happen at the same time. Yotsu eats in China also nachabiyoran, as opposed to wood. When do you enjoy them? Usually you're using wood for firewood, and therefore, so what happens is only after you burn them, only after they burn and become coal and become charcoal, only then are you enjoying from them, because the part that burns as charcoal that you're having hana from. Therefore, the pasuk is implying that wood is not subject to kedushas shvius. Now, so Rashi adds, then dyes are the same. Now, when it comes to dyes, when you're boiling them up, that's when you have bi'uran, the root of the dye or whatever, the powder that you ground it into ends up getting used up. And at the same time, the dye is getting absorbed. So you also have hanon and bi'uran shava, and therefore dyeing, and therefore shvius would apply to dyes. On the other hand, Tosfos points out that we said before that never mind that you have we said before Chazus and Milsi. When it comes to Shvius, we said that the appearance that now it looks different is that the Hana would basically be when you first wear the clothing. So then in that case, what happens is, Tosfos explains that it means at that point, the dye is getting used up over time, in the sense, as you wear the clothing, the dye fades, so therefore we can also call that Hanon of Yoram Shavah. Tosfos also points out, the fact is, there are some times where you do have with wood Hanon of Yoram Shavah. For example, if you're using it not just for firewood, but rather to warm up by the fire, or to cook, or whatever, nevertheless, In general, it's only used in a way that Hanasan Achav Yura. So the Gemara asks about Ika Eitzim the Moshchon. What about though you have oily wood? So Rashi describes, in other words, you have a type of wood which has a lot of oil in it, for example, like from certain kinds of pine trees or whatever, and you use them as a torch. So those Hanasan of Yuran Shabin, those you have the Hana and the burning happen at the same time, because the Hana, unlike, for example, when you're burning wood to make charcoal, where again the Hana comes only after you usually use them to fire up an oven, and only after they've burnt and turned to charcoal, only then you're cooking or baking over the coals. But here, on the other hand, you have this Eitz in the Moshkon is actually used as a torch. You're having Hana from it as it burns, because you're using it as a torch to light your way. So Kedushas Shvius should apply to that, and the fact is we don't find that. The answer is Amar Rava Stam Eitzim La Soka in Omdim. The answer is that regular wood is meant to be burnt as firewood, to be used to make charcoal in an oven, and therefore, so we're going to say so even Eitzim the Moshkon is not going to be any different than regular kind of wood, as opposed to Sfichei Stis that we talked about before are meant for dyeing. They're not meant for firewood to begin with, so therefore Kedushas Shvius applies to that. As far as the Alei Tanim, on my Alei Tanim, as far as the bamboo or other leaves and the grape leaves that we said before, Rashi points out, sometimes people eat them, sometimes people burn them, so therefore it's going to depend on what he had in mind when he picked them. Now, Tosfos gives an explanation, rather. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel, Eitzim de Moshchon does not mean, now Rashi is understanding it to mean oil wood, because the word Meshach is the Aramaic word for wood, for oil, so Eitzim de Moshchon would mean oil, would mean wood that has a lot of oil, a lot of natural oils in it. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel a different explanation, that the Moshchon, the Shurdish is actually Shin Ches Nun, which means hot. It's the root of the word Shchin, actually, because a Shchin is an inflammation or a boil on the skin. But here, then, he translates Eitz in the Moshchon as wood that is meant for warming up. In other words, you have, unlike what we said, that usually you use wood to make charcoal and then cook food or bake food using the coals. Rather, here we're talking about you have wood which is meant for warming yourself up on. For example, for example, you're using it for firewood to make a bonfire to warm yourself up. So then the question is that's Hana Osin of Yoran Shavin, because you're enjoying the heat of it while it's burning, and therefore, and wouldn't it be a problem? And Rava is answering that no, Stam Eitzim La'Soka Niknu, most wood is meant for burning in an oven, and therefore it's considered Hana Osin Achab Yoran, and therefore Shmita is not subject to it, and therefore even if you have, in particular, you have a certain batch of wood which you're using for a bonfire and you're going to enjoy it and also to be on shava, nevertheless, since Kedushas Shvius in general doesn't apply to wood, then it's not going to apply to wood in this specific case either where you're using it for a bonfire. So that's so Tosfos is, according to that, then the word demoshkon doesn't mean, like Rashi says, wood that has oil in it that you can use as a torch, but rather regular wood that's being used to warm yourself up. And nevertheless, Rava is explaining that Kedushas Shvius doesn't apply to it, because since Kedushas Shvius doesn't apply in general to wood, because most of it is Eitzim La'Asaka Nitnu, therefore it doesn't apply even in this particular case where you're not exactly using it for Asaka. So we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and discuss this point about Eitzim La'Asaka, and continue with this din of Shmita, and then get back to dinim of Gezel and did something wrong, etc., which we started the Sylvia with.